Let's pray. Resurrecting God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, the one who redeems both our thoughts and our words. Amen. I wonder what Simon thought about when he looked up from his nets and saw Jesus step into his boat. I think the Ted and Lee drama sort of drew out this question in a wonderful way. At this point in Luke Acts, we've heard Simon's name before, but we haven't been formally introduced to him. Back in the end of chapter 4, just a few verses before our passage begins, we're told that Jesus stayed at Simon's house. And we're told that Jesus caused quite the scene while he was there. After Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law, crowds of people showed up, and they began pressing in on Simon's house, trying to get close to Jesus, hoping that maybe he would heal their sickness too. And he did. All night long at Simon's house, Jesus healed people who were sick. And he freed people from the powers of death that held them captive. It was quite the evening. And so when Simon looked up from his nets and he saw Jesus step into his boat, he already had a basic idea of who this preacher of the good news was. This was Jesus of Nazareth, the one who claimed to be the Christ, the anointed one, the one who healed the sick, who dismantled the powers of death and made a new way of life possible. Which is all the more reason to wonder what Simon was thinking or what he might have been feeling when Jesus climbed into his boat. Maybe Simon hoped that Jesus wouldn't see him. Maybe he kept his head down and did his best to blend into his nets because, I mean, he was grateful that Jesus healed his mother-in-law, but the people who crowded around Jesus, maybe they made Simon nervous. And they had already overrun his house, and here they were showing up at his workplace. If Simon wasn't careful, he'd start to pick up a reputation that would get him in trouble with Herod or with the teachers of the synagogue. Word had it that Jesus' word of good news was not received as good news by everyone. So maybe Simon kept his head down and tried to blend in with his fishing nets because he was nervous. Or perhaps Simon felt excited. Perhaps Simon was praying for Jesus to step into his boat because he couldn't stop thinking about this strange Messiah. Because he couldn't stop thinking about how this Messiah was constantly setting people free from their illnesses and free from the powers that held them captive. Perhaps Simon kept his eyes fixed on Jesus, hoping that the Anointed One would step into his boat and ask for his help. Unfortunately, Luke does not tell us what Simon was thinking and feeling when Jesus stepped into his boat, but I think it's a helpful thing to try to imagine, because it reminds us that God greets us where we are. In this passage, God is not an idea that connects with Simon's spirit. Instead, God is a person who showed up at Peter's place of work, who stood in his boat, of all places, without even asking, and who asked Simon to push his boat out a little bit so that he could continue teaching the people in the crowd. In this passage, God encounters Simon's whole self. Not in spite of Simon's aching body or his strong emotions or his scattered thoughts, but God encountered Simon in and through his body and his emotions and his thoughts. Because that is how people encounter everything. We don't live in the abstract. We live as bodies in this world. This is how God made us, and this is how God encounters us, as creatures in the world that God made and that God loves. So even though Luke does not tell us anything about how Simon responded to Jesus' first question, we can be sure that he thought and he felt something. I wonder what it was. And I wonder what he felt and what he thought about when he sat next to Jesus in the boat. And as he listened to Jesus teach the crowds of people on the shoreline, do you think Simon hung on every word that Jesus said? I mean, maybe he tried to memorize everything that Jesus said so he could repeat it to his family when he got home. Or do you think Simon heard Jesus talk about a passage of scripture from the prophets, and then he got lost in his own wonderings about that passage? I mean, maybe he missed most of what Jesus said that day because he was so fixated on the first interesting thing he heard. Or do you think Simon's belly started to rumble as he climbed into his boat, and that's where his thoughts and his feelings focused? I mean, maybe the long, fruitless night of work weighed so heavily on Simon's body, heart, and mind that he had a hard time hearing what Jesus said. I mean, it's really hard to listen to someone when your stomach is empty and when your opportunities for work aren't what you hoped they would be. Unfortunately, Luke does not tell us what Simon was thinking and what he was feeling as he sat in the boat next to Jesus. What Luke does tell us is that when Jesus finished speaking, he turned to Simon and extended another invitation. Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Let's take this boat out a little farther. Take it out past the point where the gravel bottom fades into the dark blue and let down your nets for a catch. And it's at this point, after a wild evening of exorcisms and healings a few days ago, after a long night of fruitless work, and after some time sitting in a boat next to Jesus while he taught, that we finally hear Simon speak. It's after all of this that we get a glimpse into what Simon might have been feeling and thinking. "Master," Simon responded, "we have worked all night long and caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Similar to the way that Mary responded to the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, here Simon responds. He says two things. First, he expresses hesitation. "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing." Second, he expresses a willingness to follow. "Yet if you say, I will let down the nets." Hesitation and a willingness to follow. This is what Simon was thinking and feeling when Jesus called him out into the deep water. Hesitation and a willingness to follow. When Simon paddled out into the deep water and put down his nets, Luke writes that they caught so many fish, their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats, and the boats began to sink. If we were to translate this moment into today's world, I think it'd be kind of like if Simon were a musician who scraped together a living by making YouTube videos. Follow me. It makes sense. See, he's a musician who makes YouTube videos, and then one night after a long recording session that felt like a waste of time, someone new showed up at the studio and said, "Hey, why don't you do one more track?" It had already been a long night. Simon had packed up his instrument, but he thought, why not? So he hit record, played a few chords, sang whatever words came to mind, and then uploaded the video to some deep corner of the internet. And as he packed his stuff and got ready to go home, he looked over at the computer and watched the views on his video begin to climb. And as his video went viral, his email inbox filled to the brim with messages from advertisers and record companies who wanted to buy his song. See, I think this might be a helpful way to think about what Simon might have been feeling and thinking. Because this moment was more than just an unexpected miracle. This was the biggest economic opportunity in Simon's life. A catch like this would do wonders for his family and for his business. And with fish flopping all around him, Simon fell down at Jesus' knees in the midst of this moment. And he expressed his complete and total amazement. I mean, as the prophet Isaiah once responded to the Lord's presence by saying that he was a person of unclean lips who lived amongst a people of unclean lips, Simon responds with something similar. Simon recognizes that he somehow found himself in the presence of the divine. He said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He was in the presence of the divine, which is an amazing and overwhelming place to be. And Jesus told him to not be afraid, and that from then on, Simon would be catching people instead of fish, which was Jesus' way of saying, "Come, follow me, be my disciple." And when the sagging boats slowly made their way back from the deep, and they rested heavily on the shore, Simon and his partners followed Jesus. They left everything behind, their boats, their gear, the catch of a generation. They left it sit there on the shore, and they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus, not simply with their thoughts and not simply with their emotions, but with their whole selves. They followed Jesus with their aching bodies, with their strong emotions, and with their hesitant thoughts. Because that's how God encounters us, and that's how we encounter God, with our whole selves, as our whole selves. In this passage, Simon does not respond to the call of Jesus by closing his eyes and by quietly agreeing with some logical argument that Jesus made. I mean, if that would have been the way that Simon responded, then the boat would have never made it out into the deep water. They would have just sat there, Simon with his eyes closed and Jesus just staring at him, wondering what he was doing. No, instead, in the passage from Luke chapter 5, the invitation to follow Jesus, well, that's an invitation for Simon to follow Jesus with his entire self. It's an invitation for Simon to move his body, to move his heart and his mind, which is what following involves. It involves movement. Not just any type of movement, but movement of your whole self toward the life of God. And when you move your whole self toward the life of God, or as we say a lot here at Bethel, when you seek to follow Jesus, you will learn pretty quickly that the way of Jesus not only dismantles the powers of death, but it opens up an entirely different way of life, a holistic way of life called the kingdom of God. And for Simon, James, and John, this realization happened almost immediately. See, just as Jesus brought them to the brink of the most lucrative opportunity they had ever had, Jesus invited them to walk away. And unlike the rich young ruler who struggled to hold his wealth with an open hand, Simon and his business partners left the prospect of individual wealth behind. We're not told what happened to the literal boatloads of fish that were left on the shore that day. But given the fact that Jesus had just been teaching crowds of people who were sitting on those same shores, I like to think that everyone who was there that day, everyone, went home with some food. Because that's what happens in the kingdom of God. The hungry are filled with good things. And that's what happens when we move our whole self toward the life of God. We learn what it means to be filled with the love of Christ. We learn what it means to love with our aching bodies, with our strong emotions, and with our hesitant thoughts. We learn to love with our whole self. Let's pray.